Well, as I read through this story of Good Friday in preparation for today, I was struck by how Matthew, although the story is about Jesus, that he's the focus, Matthew is keen to highlight a few other side characters, a few of the other people who are around Jesus in this last day. And as we go through the story today, I want to take some time to highlight three of these characters for us. And I want us to see today how perhaps each one of those characters has a little bit in common with every one of us. First, I want us to think about this character, Peter. Peter was one of Jesus' closest followers. We call him an apostle. He was one of Jesus' mates, you might say. And some people say about Peter that he was a bit brash sometimes, that he liked to talk before he thought, that he had no filter. And he does seem to have a lot to say, and sometimes he seems to say the wrong thing. But I don't think that criticism is really very fair, because there's a lot to like about Peter. He's a down-to-earth kind of guy, a fisherman, runs his own boat, he's got his own business, he's honest, dependable. I think if he lived here in Adelaide, he'd be the sort of guy who people would respect, a good bloke. As I was planning out what we would be doing at Easter this year, I decided to take a couple of hours and skip work and go and watch some of the Sheffield Shield final a few weeks ago. I was sitting around at the Sheffield Shield. It was a hot day. Sun was beating down, and one of the gentlemen there had a little bit of a turn in the heat. Was struggling a little bit with the heat. And you should have seen the people run to help him. Someone went off to buy him a drink. A couple of people helped him sit down, made sure he had shade. Peter would have been one of those sorts of blokes, quick to help. And to Jesus, Peter's a loyal friend. He's stuck by Jesus through all sorts of different things. And that's what we've just heard him say here. Jesus knows where he's going. Jesus says that he's going to be killed. He's going to be crucified. And Peter wants Jesus to know that he will be there with him. He even stands up with the rest of the disciples and says, "Even if you have to die, I will be with you, Jesus." Well, of course, that's easier said than done. And we're going to see later on in the night how Peter fares when the pressure increases. But what do you and I have in common with this Peter? Well, one thing I think Peter represents for us is a choice. Peter had a choice. Is he with Jesus or against Jesus? And as we hear today this story of Good Friday, this is the choice that the story is asking us as well. As we hear what Jesus said, as we hear what Jesus did, as we see what happened to Jesus, as we see who he is, we are implicitly asked the question, are you with this Jesus or are you not? Now, of course, all of us come to that question with different backgrounds. Peter had known Jesus for a long time, travelled with him for several years. Some of us in the room might know very little about Jesus. It might be a bit hard to say whether we're with him or whether we're not. Some of us might not really even know if these stories are true and might have questions about what we're reading. Is this anything more than a fairy tale? Some of us might know that Jesus presents perhaps a conflict for us with some of the things we already believe. Some of us might know a bit about Jesus, but we're aware of all the baggage and complexity that goes along with religious things. Perhaps we even think negative things about Jesus. Some of us, on the other hand, might be a bit like Peter. We know quite a bit about Jesus, and perhaps we even think quite positively about Jesus. We think he seems like a pretty good guy. And many of us in the room, of course, are members here at Trinity Church. We come to church regularly. I'm sure if that's you, you probably think some positive things about Jesus. But here's the thing, it was easy for Peter, when things were safe and when things were going well, to say, yes, yeah, I'm on your side, Jesus. But the question that Good Friday asks of us is the same question that Peter was asked on this night. Because on Good Friday, we see the very heart of who Jesus is, more clearly than at any other point in his story. So what do you think about Jesus when things are not going so well? What do you think about Jesus and all the other stuff that goes along with him and Christianity and all the rest Well, that's one thing. But the question we're really asked today is are you with this Jesus? Are you with the Jesus who would really go through all of this that we're going to see today? Are you with this Jesus who would go even to his death? Are you with the Jesus that would go and die for you? Let's stand, and we're going to sing again. Well, the second of our characters that I want to highlight for us now is the one who Jesus has just called his friend. But in today's story, he very much plays the role of villain, the betrayer, the original, the OG, Judas. I reckon of all the qualities that Aussies value about people, loyalty has got to be right up there. I'm sure that's true in lots of cultures. And if loyalty is the thing we value, then betrayal is something that cuts us deep. Perhaps given recent news, we might think of America and Trump's tariffs and Anthony Albanese's words. These are not the actions of a friend. I think we all know that, yes, a stranger can hurt us with how they treat us. An enemy can hurt us with how they treat us. But to be hurt by a friend, someone who we thought cared for us, in some ways can hurt worst of all. I'm sure many of us know that sting of betrayal. And in our Easter story, this is what Judas does to Jesus. We've seen the Jewish chief priests were looking to take Jesus down, but it's tricky. They don't want to go and arrest Jesus in front of a crowd. They don't want the people to fight back. They don't want to cause a scene. And they also need to make sure they get the right guy. If they manage to track Jesus down with his friends in a quiet place, how will they make sure they can quickly and efficiently get the right person and take him away? And so in all this, Judas sees an opportunity. In the first reading we read today, he went to the chief priests and said, "If I can get Jesus for you, what will you give me?" He sees the opportunity to make some money. And in the garden, as we've just heard, Jesus is praying. The disciples are struggling to stay awake. And Judas comes knowing just where Jesus will be. And with this sign of a kiss, he gives the authorities exactly what they were hoping for, a chance to grab Jesus without much danger or pushback. Judas sells Jesus out for the money. Now, we might well say, well, what have I got in common with someone like Judas? Surely I couldn't have anything in common with him, and I might not be perfect, but when it gets really tough, yeah, sure, I might let down my friends sometimes, but maybe I'm a bit like Peter, you know, I'm okay, but when it gets really hard, it's a bit harder. But I'm certainly nothing like Judas. I'd never sell a friend out for money. Well, perhaps for lots of us that is true. I'm sure lots of us are loyal friends, and there were 12 of Jesus' close disciples and only one betrayed him in the way that Judas did. But I want to say this carefully. There is something, I think, about Judas that was common not just to him, but it was common to all the disciples, and it's common to us as well. Consider for a moment that if the Bible is true, if God really made this world and really knows each one of us, then to God, we are not strangers. To God, we're people that he knows and that he loves. And so if we were to hurt God, well, God wouldn't be feeling the insult of a stranger. God would be feeling the sting of betrayal, the hurt that comes from someone he loves, us, ignoring him or turning against him. And this is very much what the Bible says has happened for each one of us. We do in some ways ignore God. We perhaps hope he doesn't exist. We don't live the way that God wanted his people to live. We hurt other people through our actions or through our inactions, hurting other people who God also loves. When it comes down to a choice of living for God or taking the money, Well, maybe it's not the money. Maybe it's our own fulfillment or choosing our own way of living or our own desires. But all of us, whoever we are, whether we're churchgoers or not, whether we're when we're faced with this choice, are we with Jesus or against him? All of us often choose to turn our back on God and to live for ourselves. Judas chose to get rid of God for the sake of the money. Well, like Judas, when it comes to living God's way or living the way we want, how often would we rather push God out of the picture? And indeed, when you think about it, although Judas, compared to the rest of the disciples in the Easter story, he's the one who gets the attention, he's the betrayer, he's the traitor. But none of Jesus' disciples stay loyal to him. They all hide, they all flee, they all deny Jesus to protect themselves. They all in some ways make the same choice as Judas. No one stands with him. Jesus is left alone and betrayed. And so as we come to the next part of the story, let's come being real about who we are, real about where we've left Jesus, and real about our need for Jesus to help us and forgive us. Because the good news is that's exactly what he's going to do. But before we continue with our story, we're going to now pause and pray. And Lauren's going to lead us. I wonder how you feel as you hear this part of the story. Jesus is brought before two different judicial systems, two different courts, the Jewish ruling council and then the ancient Roman system of justice with Pilate, the Roman governor. I feel as I hear it read out, frustration. I mean, what a miscarriage of justice. An innocent man, surely one of these courts is going to find in his favour. Surely there's an appeal process. But in this first trial, it's very clear that they're out to get him. And in the second, even though Pilate seems to get that Jesus is probably innocent, we read that Pilate knew that those who brought Jesus to him were only doing it out of self-interest. But rather than do what he should do and judge fairly, the Roman governor wants to keep the peace. He does offer this crowd an olive branch. There's an opportunity to release a prisoner. And Pilate gives the people a choice. Do you want to have Jesus released, or will they allow the release of this other prisoner? A prisoner who's described as notorious, a murderer, as we learn from the Gospel of Mark. Barabbas. And it's Barabbas that I want us to think about for a moment as our third and final one of our characters that I want us to pay attention to as we read through the story this morning. I want us to consider how Barabbas would have felt on this Good Friday. Some wonder why Good Friday is even called a Good Friday. I was speaking to someone yesterday who was saying, I can't believe it's a day we celebrate. Just how shocking it was what Jesus went through, the injustice. We're hearing what happened on that day. It's a shocking story of betrayal, abandonment, an innocent man being punished. But for Barabbas, this Friday was indeed a good Friday, wasn't it? Can you imagine for a moment what it would have been like? The guilty criminal on death row. I'm sure death row wasn't a very nice place 2,000 years ago. Waiting for your punishment. And perhaps you're hearing commotion outside, an uproar, crowds are gathering, they're shouting, they're chanting, you've got no idea what's going on. And then you hear footsteps, and then you see a soldier coming to your cell. You're probably expecting it's time for your execution, aren't you? But instead he lets you out, and he tells you that you've been let off. And he tells you that you can go free. Good Friday is a day where Jesus, the innocent one, was punished. But it's also a day where the guilty one, Barabbas, went free. And if we know that we share something in common with Judas, If we know we don't perfectly live for God all the time, if we know that in some ways we'd rather abandon God or get him out of the way, if we know that we share something of that guilt of Judas, well, the good news is we can also share something in common with Barabbas. If we choose to be in Jesus, then just like Barabbas went free because Jesus died in his place, died the death that he deserved, well, we too can have freedom from the punishment for our sin because Jesus has died to pay that price. For those who trust in Jesus, this truly is a Good Friday. The innocent one has gone to his death, but we, the guilty ones, have freedom. And so we can go back to the question we started with as we thought about Jesus. We have a choice. Will we be with this Jesus? Will we trust him? Will we trust in he who died so that we might be saved? Now, I do want to take a moment at this point. We're coming close to the end of our time together today. We're going to pray again in a moment. We're going to then hear the last part of the story, and then we're going to finish our time together with a final song. After that, there'll be a chance to take a moment to pause, and then you're very welcome to come and join us for a cup of coffee, a tea, some yummy fresh hot cross buns. Once you have taken a moment, let me just give you a reminder that we'd like you to go over and collect kids from their kids' programs fairly promptly after the service is finished. Our regulars will know sometimes we wait until 11:30 to do that, but we're going to do that straight away today. But I want to say that we're going to sing, when we sing and finish that final song, we're going to sing with joy knowing that this is a Good Friday and that salvation can be found in what Jesus did on this day. But I also want to say a couple of things for those of us who might be unsure whether we are with Jesus or we're against Jesus. We're not sure about that question. That might be because you have questions and there are things that you want to know. You might want to know more. You might want to think about this question a bit more, which is quite all right. I want to make sure you know that you're always welcome here at Trinity Church Brighton. We're here at 10 o'clock every Sunday. We're here at 10 o'clock again on this Sunday, Easter Sunday. We're here every Sunday thinking about the Bible and Jesus. You don't have to be a Christian to come along. You can come along and be part of our community. You can come along and investigate what you think about this Jesus. I want to let you know too that we have some of the stories of Jesus' life. The story that we've read from part of today, the original sources of the life of Jesus. There's a few copies of what's called the Book of Matthew. They're at the welcome table and they're free to grab if you would like to read the whole story of who Jesus was and what he did. And if you'd like to read that with somebody else, we'd love you to let us know. We'd love to be able to arrange that with one of our members. We also have a number of events through the year that help us think more about this question. Will I be with this Jesus or won't I? Including in the second half of this year, we'll be running a four-week event, which we call Taste and See. Four free meals that we get to eat together. And as we eat those four meals, we're taken through the overarching story of the Bible. Maybe that's the sort of thing you would like to come along to. For now, though, hear this message of Good Friday. Jesus, the innocent one, has been put to death for us who share the guilt of Judas, but put to death so that, like Barabbas, we might go free. We're going to pray, and then we're going to hear the final part of our story today. Sally's going to lead us in prayer.